saving money on everything for your next bathroom project. Now at Menards. Upgrade your bathroom with Max. With more than 1,000 showers, bathtubs, and surrounds, you're sure to find exactly what you need to add luxury and style to your bathroom. Save big on our entire selection of Max bathroom products. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility, he knows keeping the line up and running is a top priority. That's why he chooses Grainger. Because when a drive belt gets damaged, Grainger makes it easy to find the exact specs for the replacement product he needs. And next day delivery helps ensure he'll have everything in place and running like clockwork. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Ellen, that was disgusting. Why would you do that right when we started recording? God, have some respect for our audience and yourself.
Do you think they bought it?
Did you burp, Daisy?
No, that was you.
Did you burp, Daisy?
No. What? I don't even...
Nobody's calling you. Look this way. No.
What you're talking about, even. I'm looking over at the thing here.
Daisy.
I'm turning my light on.
Daisy, did you just burp?
No, I don't even know what you're saying. That was you.
Why are you pretending to be busy when we're talking right now?
I'm so busy. I have to, this prescription bottle goes here. This goes here.
Daisy, did you just burp in the microphone?
No. You look very pretty.
Did you burp in the microphone?
No. That was the chair. I was moving the chair.
We will turn this podcast around until you tell them that you just burped.
I do have to stop at the next rest stop to pee. Can we do that before we turn the podcast around?
I'm going to shut the fuck up, Nick Lachey.
Listen, I will yes and you.
You're a horrible person. You are a horrible person.
I know. Isn't it great?
Jessica hates cracking knuckles. I hate burping. Ugh. We actually have an episode on I Think Not. Did you know I have another podcast? It's called I Think Not. You can find it wherever you get your podcasts.
No, I don't know what you're talking about. I don't even know what a podcast is.
And it was about this Frogger that was in the house, and they kept leaving the toilet seat up. The way my visceral physical reaction, it is strange. Also unexplained.
Yeah. You know what's so funny is I saw the headline today of that, the Frogger who's leaving the seat up, and I instantly thought of you, and I was like, I bet we're going to talk about the toilet seat thing again today. And here we are.
I hate it. I repeat the same three things. It is leaving the toilet seat up, rats coming up the toilet to bite my bum, and Dottie dropped the ball on purpose. Those are my three topics of conversation, and that's it. And then sometimes I'm like, true crime, whatever.
At least you have a brand.
It is unhinged. Welcome, everyone, to Shut the Fuck Up, Nick Lachey. My name is Ellen Marsh, and across the screen from me is a liar. I don't even know if she actually has a Tony Award. Her name is Daisy Egan. Welcome to your favorite Love is Blind recap podcast. We're on season 6, episode 3. How are you feeling emotionally, Daisy?
I am drained. I am anxious. I am tired. I want my mommy. I really want a massage, but my boobs hurt. And also, I have no time. And
I actually didn't think that this question was going to last as long as it has, but here we are.
I mean, I feel like we've been doing this together long enough that you should know that you can't just ask me, how is everything?
I'm always going to assume you want a nap. I am always going to assume you're annoyed at somebody. I'm always going to assume you're anxious. So those are superfluous.
Okay. So I can just say same as usual.
Right.
How about you, Ellen? How are you?
Bored. Can you imagine just saying that? How are you? Bored. Bored in a house and I'm in the house bored. I was so busy over COVID. I was the busiest I've ever been. And people were just bored doing things.
Yeah. There was a lot of boredom.
I was not bored. I was watching Love is Blind. We have so much to do. We are on episode 3. Love connections are forming. We're getting to know people. Secrets are coming out. True colors are coming out. Tears are coming out. Questions are coming out from me and Daisy, but that's why we're here. We're here to educate. We're actually going to be teaching a class. Tell them what our class is on.
Our class is called When You're in the Sixth Season of a Reality TV Show. Everyone is a psychopath.
Yep, that's the class we're teaching.
Here's the thing.
Daisy,
I know that...
No. You're not telling me any things. Here's the thing. I love you. I love you so fucking much. If you were like, Ellen, I need a fucking organ, I would think about it hard and probably say no because I don't like surgery, but I would think about it hard. I am not here for your shit, though, for this fucking... Get your shit together. What is your thing you want to say?
I was going to say, I know that before when this was happening, I was like, ha ha, I'm going to cry. But like, I think I'm actually going to cry.
Yeah, I might cry. I have so much research to do.
The fact that I have to have my husband call the cable company, I'm not sure I can explain to you like how infuriated that makes me feel. And I am reverting back to my like early 20s self.
It doesn't feel like anything has changed on your end. Like, I'm not actually being funny now. I actually feel like nothing has changed.
I know.
But we're going to get through it and we're going to do it together. Here we go. Are we ready?
I guess.
Do you want to start, my love?
Yeah. So we start off the episode where we left off at the end of episode 2. The doors to the tunnel of love open and Jimmy? No, that's not his name.
Johnny?
Johnny. They look and sound and have the same names and everybody is the same. Johnny and Amy are meeting each other in the tunnel of love. And Johnny is, I mean, Johnny has won the lottery of love.
It is honestly very precious. The surprise, the shock, the pleasant surprise on his face. He picks her up, spins her around, and they have a makeout session.
It's so much kissing, and I really wish that Netflix would have turned the mics down a little bit.
I hate the sound of kissing. Even when I'm the kisser.
I can't.
I'm like, can you not? This might be the most kissing I've actually ever seen.
Suddenly I felt like I was watching Skinamax.
I wrote like really making out in my notes. He is speechless. He's obsessed with her. He's like, you're so beautiful. You're so beautiful. Kiss, kiss, kiss.
Oh my God.
Passionate, sweet, almost also childlike. I don't know. I was very smitten by them. I am now rooting for them.
I don't know. There's still something that's itching me about him. I went on a date once with a guy who behaved that way. You know, I arrived and he was like, oh my God. Oh my God. And he just kept doing it all night. And I was like, okay, can we just have a date? Which now in retrospect, I'm like, I really should have basked in that because that was probably the one and only time that was ever going to happen to me.
Yeah.
Amy? Wow.
Yeah. It's a lot. Then he gets down on his knee and he proposes more kissing. You know what I think is very sweet? And I realized that I do this too. And I didn't realize until I clocked it on her. She loves his hair and she like cups his face. That's very intimate.
Yeah, that's a very sweet, intimate thing. And then she tells us in confessional that he's not somebody she normally would have picked. She had it in her mind that she was, you know, that she wanted to go for ethnic men. And it, you know, she's sort of roundabout telling us like he's not the handsomest man she's ever seen, but it doesn't matter because she really is in love with him.
Oh, I didn't get that at all. I didn't
the first time I watched it, but I watched it again and I was like, oh, it really does sort of sound like she's saying like, I mean, I think she thinks he's fine looking. I just think he's not like a stunner like she was.
Exotic.
Yeah.
I mean, he is a white dude. He is Yankee Doodle Dandy white. He's like Yankee Doodle Dan. Is that a person? If it is,
sure.
It's Johnny. Johnny Yankee Doodle Dandy Appleseed. He is white. He bleeds mayonnaise. He is for sure white.
He does. He does. He bleeds mayonnaise. And it also comes out of his penis. She puts her face on his shoulder and gets makeup on it. And he's like, Amy. And she's like, I wanted to look good for you. It was so relatable because I am always that person when I have to put makeup on.
Also, I was getting PTSD JP flashbacks.
Yes.
He actually doesn't seem to care. which is not that big of a deal. They exchange a million kisses, a million I love yous, and then they have to go back to the quarters, which I always think is so torturous. Can't they just go off together?
Yeah.
But did you notice when she was saying goodbye, her foundation had rubbed off her face?
I didn't.
We've all been there, girl. We have all done it. But it was normal skin color and then just the area that the powder had wiped off. We've all been there. One time, oh my stars, when I was a senior in high school, obviously I was poor. I couldn't afford to get my eyebrows waxed or my lip because I had like the Italian like hairy lip. So I would have a little waxing kit at home, put it in the microwave, wax, right? Well, I was going out with my boyfriend and I waxed my own shape of my eyebrows because I wanted them to be thinner. Cool. And I had done it a couple times before. I took a chunk out of my eyebrow. No problem. I'll just fill it in with eyeliner because brow pencils weren't a thing in 1802. So then,
oh no,
I filled it in and he and I tussled. It wiped off and we like turned on the lights and he was like, oh my God, what happened to your eyebrow? I was like, oh, no, dear. Oh, no, dear. It was just a, Anyway, Amy, we've all been there. I wiped off my own eyebrow.
Yeah, we've definitely been there. And you know what? If that's what you look like after a kissing session, then you know it was a good kissing session.
Right.
Although they didn't have to subject us to all of the sounds of it.
I hate it. I hate it. I also hate this. I know we all do it, but I hate this. Wait, I'll go this way.
Uh-huh. I know exactly what you're going to do.
Ah! Put your tongue in your mouth. No. But I don't want to see it.
No.
No.
Have you watched the original Top Gun anytime recently?
What? Yes, Daisy. I've had so much free time.
It is so much tongue.
What do they do?
Oh, God. In the watching of emotion, ain't a love affair. It's just tongue. And I did a 30-minute musicals version of that. And at that part, we just were like...
Lowe's knows how to get you ready for holiday hosting with up to 35% off select home decor. And get up to 35% off select major appliances. Plus, members get free delivery, haulaway, basic installation, parts, and a 2-year Lowe's protection plan when you spend $2,500 or more on select LG major appliances. Valid through 10-1. Member offer excludes Massachusetts, Maryland, Wisconsin, New Jersey, and Florida. Installed by independent contractors. Exclusions apply. See Lowe's.com for more details.
You're listening to Leaf Filter Radio, and the guru of gutter protection himself, Chris Counihan, is here to take your most pressing leaf-related questions.
Hey, everybody, Chris here. I understand we have Ron on the line. Ron, where are you calling from?
Uh-oh. Ron, are you calling from a ladder?
Well, I was. I wanted to ask Chris what I need to do to get my gutters ready to have leaf filter installed.
Oh, Ron, you don't have to do anything. A leaf filter trusted pro will come out and clean out your gutters, realign and seal your gutters, and install leaf filter, America's number one gutter protection system.
So I didn't need to get on this ladder?
Ron, leaf filter trusted pros are in your neighborhood and ready to help. Just visit leaffilter.com/day to schedule your free gutter inspection and get up to 30% off.
Thank goodness. What was that site?
That's leaffilter.com/day for your free gutter inspection today. See representative for warranty details. Promotion is 20% off plus a 10% senior or military discount. One discount per household.
My dog is barking and my dogs are barking. Sometimes I think about going on a vacation
and never coming back.
Never coming back. I want to have a 3-week vacation so that by myself, so that the first week I can just sleep. I don't have to fucking answer to anybody. I order the room service when I need the room service. I fucking put the do not disturb. You're not going to come in here. I will sleep. Then the second week, I will go do my life. I will lay on a beach.
You want to be by yourself?
Mm-hmm.
Can I go?
That's not by myself.
Oh, well, I didn't know I was included in that.
Actually, you know what? The third week, my friends can come.
Can I come the second week?
Yeah, actually that, well, you can come the second half of the second week.
Can I come the third day of the second week? Because it's like a little less than a half.
Yes. And then you can be there for a week and then everybody has to leave. And then I need the rest of the time to like decompress from that. Because then I'll be like, I need a vacation from my vacation.
Hi, mommy.
Hi, mommy.
Hi, LA.
Be careful. Daisy's mom died. So just like be like, sorry to hear about your mom, because she gets mad when people's moms call.
Didn't Daisy's mom die a long time ago?
Yeah, but she brings it up a lot.
All right, Ellen, just throw your mother in my face.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay.
Throw your alive mother in my face.
Do you see? She's always she's like, I don't like you. Your mother's alive.
I'm sorry. Do you want to kill me?
Yeah.
There you are, Daisy. You want me to go away? I can have Ellen kill me. She'd like to do that anyway.
Well, at least you're not dramatic, Mom.
Actually, every time we talk about you, Ellen says, I hate her so much, like that. And she's
I like that we've evolved to the shaking scream now, like we had to make it evolve.
She hates me. She's always hated me. She always wanted Cindy Mosier to be her mother.
To be fair, if my mom was still alive, she would probably be like an unapologetic TERF, and we probably wouldn't get along, so...
Anyway, are you guys working? I'll make this quick.
No, we're just hanging out. We just hang out. Do you have something to tell me?
Well, yeah, I have something to tell you, something to ask you. You told me you wanted me to come out to take care of Lola.
Yeah.
You gave me approximate dates, but I asked you to double check when you were leaving and when you were coming back. And I wanted to finalize the plans because my calendar fills up so quickly.
Doing what, Mom?
Sitting around, playing, reading, watching TV, all the fun stuff that I do.
Okay.
But no, I don't know what day you're coming back, so I wanted to at least have a couple of days to visit with you and spend with you because your birthday's coming up. And so I wanted to just get those dates finalized. I know you don't want to spend time with me, but I thought it would be nice if you had dinner.
This is where I get it, Daisy. This is all the time. I call.
Is this not a bit? Is she just being herself?
No, all the
herself?
Time. I call. She goes, oh, hi. Who are you?
Well, so here's the thing. I have called you now 4 times.
Let's look into that. Hold on, Mom. When did you call me? Called me Monday at 12:49 p.m. What time do I record About Damn Crime every Monday? Noon.
Actually, now I'm sort of happy my mom's dead. So thank you for that.
Mom, we gotta go. I am doing important things. Anna, why are you wearing a jacket in the house? Turn your heat on.
I just came in from shopping, and I will turn my heat on. I was gonna make some tea. I'm sitting here. It's not that cold, and what's it to you?
Okay. Love you, Mom. I know Daisy wants you to die, but I don't want you to die. Okay, I have to go.
Bye, guys. Okay, bye.
Aside from the fact that I actually don't want your mom to die, one of the reasons I don't want your mom to die is because you would not stop working and I would feel all the guilt about you not stopping. I'd be like, Ellen, you're allowed to not work on the day of your mom's funeral. And you'd be like, I have to work. I have to work. Like everybody expects a podcast. I have to record. So we're going to go to the funeral and then we're going to record and then we're going to go to the viewing and then we're going to go record and then we're going to go to the party afterward. And I'd be like, Ellen, can you just take one day of bereavement?
It's just so funny because she has like a Google alert set on me. This woman knows things that happen in my life before I do. She does know every Monday, Rabia and I record About Damn Crime at noon. She calls at 12:49. Am I supposed to be made responsible to remember that she called?
So Laura is yelling at Danielle and Sunny about how over the summer she had different techniques for picking up men. She would drop something and then bump into them while she was picking it up. She'd be like, oops, oh, hi. And Danielle has my favorite response to anything ever. She says with a completely blank, expressionless face, I am screaming. That's like me being like, that's funny. No, that's funny. Oh, that's funny. That's hilarious.
I do that all the time.
Then Laura tells us that it didn't work out so well, which is obvious because she's sitting on a couch in the women's quarters at the hangar that is Love is Blind. And then she says she would make really uncomfortable eye contact with men that she wanted to flirt with.
Now, Laura's beautiful, but if she makes that stare to me in public, it looks like she's going to hurt me and everything I love.
That's not a sexy stare. It looks like a psycho stare. And also, to be fair, listen, I don't mean to be very judgy, but that is my hijab, her eyes are very close together.
Are they? Yeah, I guess now that you mention that. She reminds me of, you know, that actress who's in every movie as the best friend?
Yes.
That's who she looks like.
The woman who has a plate for a face.
Oh, okay. I think she's pretty. And
I don't even know if we're talking about the same woman, but I think we are.
She's always the best friend. Now we're in the men's quarters and Clay is talking to Jamal. All right. So Clay has a little bit of a breakdown. He says he doesn't go to therapy. He doesn't talk about his feelings a lot. I think a lot of this comes out when you don't have crutches. You don't have your friends. You don't have your phone. You don't have your privacy. You're around people you don't know. But was this real?
You know what? I said the same. I said, Clay is crying. Is he, though?
Okay, I felt like such an asshole because I wanted to be there for the realization, for the mental breakdown, for the man being vulnerable. I wanted to be there for it. And so I felt really judgy and horrible for questioning its authenticity. Okay, now you're horrible too, so it's great.
Well, I mean, newsflash, right. You know what I mean? But to be fair, like as the scene went on, there was some moisture coming down his face. But I think there was another person on maybe last season who would cry and I'd be like, I don't think you're actually crying. Well, I know Gigi was one of them, but there was someone else
like,
that I was
making, like you're the crying. Yeah. Like when you go like this and you make the crying.
Okay, a lot of people in the chat are saying that they thought the same thing. Okay, good.
All right.
I really felt bad because I thought if this man is really having a moment of vulnerability, and I'm questioning him. This was my reaction in fast time watching it.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
Like, I was buying it, then I pulled back. I don't know.
Exactly the same. Exactly the same. And Jamal is, like, laying hands on him. It's a very interesting dynamic. And to be fair, Clay says he's not used to crying. So, you know, he doesn't have a lot of practice at it. So maybe that's why he's not good at it. And then Jamal takes his sunglasses off at night. And he's like, you see how these are tinted? He says, I cry all day. And I was like, you go, Jamal.
Same.
With your ripped pants.
Yeah. So now Clay is back with AD and he says he thought about her all night. He apologizes for cursing and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Cursing and stuff.
What is the and stuff? Cursing and stuff. Would that be like cursing and also being immature and also being reactionary and also for having a bad temper and also for getting up in arms about a situation that you have willingly put yourself into? What's the and stuff, my friend?
Right. And et cetera. He has not gotten over the fact that his rival was Matt. He cannot let this one go.
I mean, I kind of get that, though. I wouldn't say it to the person, but when he's like, oh, if you only knew, I get that.
Yeah. And who knows? It'll be interesting to see her see Matt at some point and just be like,
No, I have a question. He says he doesn't know how to express himself. And he said the following sentence. He said, I'm sorry if I made you feel that way. Okay, so he didn't say, I'm sorry you feel that way. So that's like the worst case scenario. How do we feel about I'm sorry if I made you feel that way?
Mm-mm. So I wrote, once again, his apology includes the word if. He says, if I'm wrong, I will admit that I am wrong.
Good call.
He says, I'm sorry if I made you feel that way. But here's the thing. She just told you that you made her feel that way. So it's not an if. If I made you feel XYZ is like, somebody's not speaking to you and you can't get a response from them. And you can say like, I'm sorry if I upset you. I'm sorry if what I said was upsetting. Not you upset me. Well, I'm sorry if I upset you. No. I just said you upset me. So there's no if in there.
So in my mind, it feels like saying, I'm sorry that you had such a negative reaction to me, but that's sort of on you because he was bang out of order.
That's not an apology. And yes,
there is a time and a place for I'm sorry if I made you feel that way. If you are saying something honest and someone is not ready to accept it or they're not in a place to accept it or they're giving you pushback, but it's actually something heartfelt and well thought out that you mean, well, I'm sorry if I made you feel that way. In this case, he definitely owes her an apology. He was abusive. He was overreactive. He was mean. He was aggressive.
Yeah. She says she doesn't respond well to being yelled at. I'm like, I mean, sure, there are men who pay women to scream at them. I get it. But like most of us don't really want to be yelled at. He says that he was like boohoo crying this morning and that he's embarrassed about it. I mean, I was like, that must have been off camera. Unless you think that one tear coming out of your face is boohoo crying. But she says she feels like it's a dope masculine trait for a man to be open with his emotions. And she says it's almost a weakness more when a man is like, I'm not going to cry. And I'm like, will you marry me? I'm not into those jeans with the elastic waistband. I don't. If those are coming back, yeah, then I'm done. I'm going to bow out now.
I have more thoughts on AD further down the line.
There is no world in which those are acceptable unless you are a 5-year-old.
Okay, that's fair. I was going to talk more about her accepting things that don't meet her standards and less about her clothes. But like, we can talk about both. I'm here for anything that you want to talk about.
I mean, that's a bigger issue. You're right.
She very generously accepts his subpar apology. And listen, it is okay to grant someone the space to do better. And then if they do that again, that's when you have your exit strategy conversation. Because people do fuck up. We all fuck up. We all act in ways that we wish we wouldn't. For me, it is all about how you humble yourself when those instances happen, because nobody is fucking perfect. To me, she is leading the fucking parade with the red flag. Like, she is the person at the Louvre and like, oh, it's her, I guess. She, which way to the Mona Lisa? Like, that's what that is to me. But I'm on this journey. If she wants to show him grace to be a better man, I get that, because she's all in.
Yeah. Also, the joke is going to be on him when those doors open and he sees that she is gorgeous and she is petite and has a butt and big lips. Like, he is exactly what he fucking said he's attracted to. And I love that she's not like, okay, well, that's me. Like, I love that she's like, what if I'm not that? Those doors are going to open and he's going to be like, yay, Christmas! Or he's a psychopath.
Someone says that at least she's self-aware of her patterns. I sure as hell wasn't at her age. I actually think she is very well read on those patterns, but she's falling straight into the patterns that she said she was coming here to avoid. Because Clay is an overgrown fuckboy. I feel like that's what's going to play out in the season, and that's what she came here not to find. So I think that outwardly speaking, verbally, she can verbalize the things that she doesn't want to do.
Well, she even says that she's going to fix him. Like, she's like, you know, once you're with me, you'll see. Like, it's not going to be about your money anymore. And it's not going to be. I'm like, girl, you're doing the thing. You're doing the exact thing that you said you have to stop doing. But she also says, look, this isn't going to be easy. It's going to be a roller coaster, but I'm in it. She says it's a journey.
Why do people say that? Roller coasters are fucking awesome. We need to change that idiom. Gonna be a roller coaster. That sounds like fun. Let's go twice.
I mean, the sad thing about this monologue, she's like, if I walk out the door, I'll come back. If I hang up the phone, I'll call you back. And I agree. I'm the same way. I'm like, I need space. You got to give me that space when I'm very angry or I'm going to say something we're all going to regret. And then I'll come back and we can have a conversation. But I feel like what she's saying is like, please don't scream at me every time things are not exactly the way you want them to be. And I want to say to her, the fact that you're having to say this to him means that you need to follow Amber and get the fuck out of here.
So now Brittany walks into the pod and there's Twinkie lights everywhere and a painting party set up. And she's like, I love you. And there's a salad. Oh, my
God. Oh, my God. I love a salad.
I love a salad. This is my favorite part. She's like, a salad and a painting party. This is going to be, oh, my God, totally random. I wasn't even thinking about this. Just came to me right off the top of my eye. I'm not even putting that much thought into it. I just sort of was, this came to me just now in this very moment. What's your ethnicity? And then he says, I'm black. And she's like, I figured. And he goes, you're just white.
That's like Kurt the other day was like on the phone taking some kind of survey. And the guy was like, what's your ethnicity? And he's like, it's a plain old boring white man.
Listen, she doesn't give a shit. She really doesn't. I actually really, really into Brittany.
Yeah.
But it was just funny the way, obviously, you are curious. And she was like, I think he's black. And she wanted to find a way to ask it. Random. Oh, yeah. I went, this spark.
Oh, hey, just not a big deal. But she also knows Kenneth didn't put up those lights and put that salad there. And she's like, oh, this is so sweet. I live. He's so horrid. And it's like, but that's just Netflixed it. Like a PA yeah, did that.
A PA literally went to the bodega and got flowers for you.
Yeah. Also, who eats a Chinese salad and doesn't put the little wonton strips on there? Like, get the fuck out of town.
Maybe she should go with Matthew. I don't know. They start asking questions about what each other looks like. I feel like this is the first season we've ever seen that even mention.
I know.
Other than Shake asking that time where he's like, if I were to throw you in the air, would I grunt? Would I have to bend my knees really deep? But I feel like other than that, they're talking a lot about each other's looks.
They're talking a lot about a lot of shit from outside the pods yeah. that are not important. But she asks him what he thinks she looks like, and all he has is yeah. long hair.
Such a dude thing. And then they talk about sex. The way she makes it sound, she's never had sex.
I mean, I wonder if either of them have, because they both say they want to wait until they're married.
Yeah, I mean, she said that was the plan. So that made me confused, like if this was like a recommitment or something. But then I feel like neither one of them have had sex.
I think they're very, very Jesus-y, which I think is actually going to be the thing that makes them work.
Yes.
You know, I mean, she also guesses. She's like, I think you're stocky and stout. And he is. So great. But yeah, I think that this is the kind of couple that like, this is what God intended for them. So that's the end of the discussion, you know?
It is an interesting discussion because, like we said, if it's a religious thing, that's fine. I'm not into that, but everyone is entitled to do whatever. Kelly didn't want to fuck Kenny. That's why they weren't having sex and she wasn't telling him. If this is a religious thing and they're both on board, I say more power to you. And they're doing art, and I am such a bad artist that I get anxiety watching people paint. How do you know what goes where? We're having, you have to come. You know, on ITN, we're having quarterly paint parties with Katie from Ike and Paint.
Oh, you are? Oh, I was thinking about doing that.
She's designing like an ITN themed piece.
Oh, I love that.
Mine's going to be the worst for sure. So now Laura is on a date with Jeremy.
Who I always forget. He's like the Kenny of this season.
With ADHD. I don't trust the way he spells his name.
What is, it's like Jeremy. Jeremy.
Get the fuck out. It's not even an Ashley joke. That is not how you spell Jeremy. He's a sociopath by association.
She says that they align on all of their things. Bro, I didn't write much about this date because these people are like Kelly and Kenny to me.
She sits down and says, do you snore? He's like, girl, not only do I snore, I got sleep apnea. I can die in my sleep. I'll see you're snoring and raise you. My heart could stop. He has one of those CPAP machines that plugs into his nose. And she's like, oh my God, that's crazy. Did you bring it? He's like, no. Jeremy, yes, I hate your name, but don't die on Love is Blind. That would be extremely unfortunate. So hopefully Jeremy won't die. So then Laura asks about holiday traditions. Daisy, what are your holiday traditions?
I know it's problematic. I still really love Thanksgiving. I know you don't. I love the food, but lately it all just feels too stressful. It all just feels like a chore.
Yeah. I told you I was sick a couple Thanksgivings ago. It was glorious. And Jeremy says that he doesn't like the holidays, especially. She hates Christmas.
She says Christmas puts her in a bad mood. And he says the holidays are very lonely.
I get that. Maybe Johnny should sing a rendition of We Three Kings.
That would do it.
To get her in the Christmas spirit. Holidays can be lonely when people have fractured families and complicated families and stuff. I get that. The way Jeremy was describing his family kind of reminds me of my family. We were a lot of cousins and aunts and uncles, and we were sort of all together. We are sort of more fractured as all of the kids have grown up. We've all gone away to college. For one reason or another, it's just not the same. But I also feel like traditional family structures are so different.
Yeah, everything is very different. The weird thing to me about this scene is that, like, he says holidays are lonely. She says she hates Christmas and it puts her in a bad mood. And then he launches into this like monologue about how he wants Christmas to be. And he's like, I want it to be huge and I want all the family to be there and I want to wake up early and we're going to have mimosas and then we're going to open presents and then we're going to blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, that's weird. She just said she hates Christmas and now you've just put like the biggest to-do on her. And then oddly, she goes, same. What?
I thought it was very odd as well. But then I sort of gave him the benefit of my doots. And I was like, oh, maybe he's trying to like create better memories around something that is.
Yeah, but it was weird for me that she was like making hearts with her hands and being like, oh, my God, same. And I'm like, literally just said you hate Christmas and it puts you in a bad mood. I feel like nobody in this show is being honest or forthright or just saying the fucking thing, except maybe for AD. But yeah, it's weird.
Anyway, she says, I'm literally obsessed with you. I'm like, are you? And then Jeremiah says that Laura is his number one. I'm like, this is weird. This feels forced and weird. But Jeremiah is with Sarah. And she's talking about how she's worried that her Botox is fucked up. Listen, that would suck.
They're both talking about Botox and fillers at this point. Listen, there is so much filler in this episode. I mean, on this season, like I am physically uncomfortable. And I think we could go back and look at season one and like Gigi maybe had a little bit going on in her lips, but like they just looked like people. And now everybody looks the same. Everybody looks the same. I can't tell anybody apart. Everyone's faces are like this. They can't move their face except for the, like, it's too much. It's too much.
So you have filler. I wonder what my lips would look like with. I mean, I like
my lips. Oh, your lips are great. I actually have considered getting filler just for fun to see, but I'm not going. And also, it's expensive. Where are people getting all this money?
Expensive. They don't have kids.
Well, fair.
Then Sarah says, I just have filler because I love taking pictures. And also, I want you to be okay with me taking pictures. I hate asking people to take my picture.
So then Jeremiah asks Sarah Ann how many followers she has on Instagram.
Well, because she's talking about how if you love me, you need to hang from a tree and get my picture.
And she has 4,000 and he's like, holy mother of God. And she has like 31,000 TikTok followers. He then asks her about her politics, which is, I think, the first time we've had this discussion on this show.
The very first time. I wrote that in big letters. Have we ever seen this before? We've assumed, I mean, JP, anything that couldn't be nailed down, he put a flag on it, but we have never seen. I'm sure they've had it, but I'm sure they have strategically never shown a politics conversation.
Yeah, and this discussion really made me want to throw the TV out the window because she says, well, I'm more of a conservative. I'm a patriot. So I'm a conservative. And I'm like, girl,
she said she's a huge patriot.
Republicans don't have a fucking lock on patriot. Newsflash, the Nazis were patriots. The Nazis were huge patriots. The Nazis loved Germany so much. Like, go fuck yourself. Stop acting like you have the copyright on patriotism because your people stormed the fucking Capitol.
It's so weird because she says the words she uses are, I'm more conservative. And then she says, I'm a huge patriot. If you are a huge patriot, you're not more conservative. You're conservative.
You're very, very conservative.
There's no one that's sort of middle of the road, kind of a Biden Republican that's going to say that they're a patriot. No, then you're MAGA. You're not more conservative. And then she's like, I have other friends that have more liberal views. And then she mentions abortion.
I just don't think that women should use it as birth. You know what, bitch? Nobody's fucking doing that.
I wrote season six is bringing it. She gives that weird talking point answer. I mean, I'm not opposed to it if a woman is sexually assaulted or raped. So only in the worst possible of circumstances.
Yeah.
Are you giving women a choice? And I feel like that's a conservative way of being like, oh, look at how liberal I am. And it's not. Jeremy gives the perfect answer that is the easiest answer for every man to weigh in. And I've actually never heard it spoken on television.
Yeah. And you know what? Frankly, it's the correct answer. He says, I'm a man. So it's not my place to have an opinion. I once was at a party with mostly women and mostly queer women. And there was one dude at this party. And we were talking about like getting catcalled, getting hit on uncomfortably. And this dude didn't say a word. And so I finally turned to him and I was like, do you have an opinion? And he was like, this isn't my conversation to weigh in on because this is a female experience. And I was like, marry me.
Stick it.
Put it in.
Pick a hole and
put
stick
it in my
there.
Ear. If it's like, I don't care.
if it's enjoyable to you. And she says she doesn't think politics belong in conversations. Oh my God, that's so cute that you brought a DeLorean and you went back 20 years to when these conversations didn't matter as much as they do today. That's adorable.
And actually, they did matter. It's just your fucking white privilege that you think that politics isn't embedded in every single fucking thing that you do from the moment you wake up to the moment you go to bed.
That whole conversation was a pretty clear indication that Jeremy is a liberal.
Yes, correct. I said, I think he's a liberal and he's just not saying it.
But it is weird that Netflix let that conversation sort of slip through because those people had to have had those conversations before. But Netflix is like, it's not worth it to us to air this and to like get one side boycotting or whatever.
But to be fair, you know, in the last scene, Laura said she was so hungry and Netflix let that comment air. So now Jeremy tells this lady that he lost his dad when he was 19 in a car crash. It was very sudden and they were very close.
I have a very quick question about this. It is all very sad. Is it me or is this season unnaturally dark?
Yeah, it's pretty dark.
I feel like there's been a lot of, I lost my best friend in a tragic shrimping boat accident. And when we were on the way to the hospital, the ambulance got into a car accident and my parents were actually driving that car. And then when I got out of the car, they ran me over with the car. And then because they were attending to me, my best friend in the ambulance died. But it turned out that my parents were also his parents. He was my long lost brother. So essentially, they killed their son. And then when everything was going down, a tornado swooped in. That tornado was addicted to pain pills. And then I was an orphan and Miss Hannigan got cancer right in the middle of me singing Maybe. And also, I don't know how to read. It's been a lot.
That was like word for word. Well, I will tell you, I think that as the seasons go on, as with any reality TV show, they are attracting more and more people who are not necessarily psychologically well. So I think they're attracting people with like a lot of trauma.
Yeah. But doesn't everyone have a story of loss and no tornadoes at all? Not even. Okay. So.
Right.
I'm going to cross it out. Unless you tell me now you were swooped up by a tornado. Okay, you can stay.
You know that they have psychologists like vet these people and they're vetting them to see like who's going to produce the best television.
Yeah, I feel like if you and I were to go on there, they would talk to us for 2 minutes and be like, you're for sure on. You fucking crazy bitches. You're on this show.
Oh, I was going to say the opposite.
No, you're like, I was a child star. My mom died while I was on Broadway.
Except that I wouldn't put up with any of this shit.
I know, but it would just be funny. And you're like, I got pregnant, broke up with the baby's dad, but we stayed co-parents, but then we fell back in love. Come on, get this bitch on TV.
That's fair. That is fair. He then tells this person, Sarah, I keep forgetting who she is. He says, I want you to know I think very highly of you.
Oh, just say I'm fond of you. Hand me a toaster and run the tub.
Yeah. She then says, if you and I got married, I would look back on this moment and be like, it's such a sure thing. And then he says, I'm telling you, once I get married, that's it. Ride or die. These people are having two different conversations in sort of the same orbit. What she's saying is, okay, what I'm hearing from you right now is we're going to get married. And he's saying, I want you to know I think highly of you. Please don't be upset when I don't propose to you. And then he's also saying like, look, I'm going to take this very, very seriously. He's not saying it's you and me, ride or die, but she's hearing it's you and me, ride or die.
Also, everyone's just doing their fucking best. You're not in it for forever. We're back in the women's quarters.
They're all using their spackling knives and their aerosol hair glue. They're all getting ready.
Brittany is telling Jessica about Kenneth. And then we go over to the men's quarters. Remember Ariel?
Barely. Burial.
Yeah. And he was like, listen, I wish this were Like is Blind. I'd be in this shit.
And then Kenneth goes, it's not. It's Love is Blind. Okay. I was making a joke.
Kenneth says he's never dated a white girl.
Mm-hmm.
And then Ariel says, would your family be cool with that? And he was like, yeah, of course. Mm-hmm. Thank you for showing that scene. That's interesting.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, because it's like Lauren's dad.
Yes.
Papa Dan.
So now we go in to a date with Kenneth and Brittany. It's clearly proposal day because she's wearing a velour asymmetrical dress. She says she loves getting flowers. He gives her the speech. When you talk, I feel this. When you smile, I feel that. When you laugh, I do this. Boopity boop boop. And they get engaged.
Boom. She accepts.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone's excited. And we're back in the women's quarters. And in a shocking turn of events, Jessica is crying.
Wow.
Love him so much. He is my person. What if he is someone else's person? Jimmy is my man.
And Mackenzie's like, he doesn't love anybody else. It's you. I'm like, quiet your mouth.
I want to shake this woman and say, ma'am, Jimmy is a solid 5 behind a plexiglass wall.
Yeah.
Can we not? You are fine. What is happening?
She says in confessional, the electric feeling that I get around Jimmy, what else could you call it other than love? Gas? Too much coffee?
What is it about him that is giving all these women a snail trail? What is happening? He is so mediocre. I'm not even being mean.
I know.
He's perfectly fine.
He's fine. I would not look twice at him out in public. And if we started talking, I'd be like, I have to go do literally anything else.
I'm not even a drinker, and I would need 4 vodka tonics to even let him look at my nipple.
Oh, God, we're going that far? Ugh. At this point, I think they're setting us up to know that Jimmy's not going to pick Jessica because Jessica is way too excited. She's like, he's my man. He's my person. I'm going to have his babies. This is it. We are together. I'm so excited. And you're watching that. And you're like, I know why they're showing me this. We go into a date with Jessica and Jimmy.
Daisy, what are they doing on their date?
They're eating spaghetti.
What is on the table? Don't. This is not funny.
I was watching this with Monty. Right away, he goes, love is wine.
Okay. That's not even what. Yes, that was part 2.
Okay.
They're sitting down for an Italian meal.
Oh, the separate sauce and pasta? What the fuck? I'm not even Italian. I was like, who?
Pasta and sauce.
First of all, your pasta is going to be cold. Both of them are going to be cold.
You're going to pour it on top. There's going to be pasta without sauce on it. You mean to tell me that after that, you expect me not to believe that there is a sociopath working at Netflix? I'm supposed to accept that there are people in this world who separate their pasta and their sauce and they serve it with a straight face?
Well, then she doesn't even eat her plain noodles. So I thought that maybe, like, I was like, maybe she has a tomato allergy. But listen, Brooke is right. I am 1% Sardinian. So I do feel like I have the authority to say this. But also, I've watched The Sopranos, and I know how you do it.
You're basically Italian if you watch The Sopranos, because we all are like that.
You boil your pasta, you boil your macaroni, and over here in this pot, you put, first of all, your sauce is heated in another pot. Then you have a third pot. When your pasta is al dente, you take it, your gravy, you take it out with the...
No, ma'am.
You don't say gravy?
No, ma'am. No.
Oh, is that East Coast?
No, that's a full-on American Staten Island Italian. Don't ever. You will literally get deported from Italy if you call sauce gravy. Gravy is brown.
And do you say pasta or do you say macaroni?
I don't want to. You know what?
It's a Long Island thing. I'm from Brooklyn. What do you want?
I have worked in a toxic work environment before. I'm not putting, no. Macaroni? No. It is pasta and sauce.
That's what I say. Don't scream at me.
I don't know who else to scream at because you just asked me if I call pasta macaroni. So to me, that's toxic behavior.
When the pasta's ready, you take a pat of butter, you put it in the pot. You take your pasta, you put it in with the butter, and you stir it around for 30 seconds. And then you take a little, like the half a cup of the pasta water, you put it in, you stir it around, and then you put the sauce that's already hot in the pasta. You mix it around so that the sauce gets properly integrated with the pot. Oh my God, Ellen literally walked out.
Hi, Mom.
Hi, Ellen.
I need to talk to you for a second.
Am I in trouble?
No. First of all, she called sauce. Guess what she called it?
Gravy.
I didn't. Somebody in the chat did.
Yes, she did. Guess what she called pasta?
Macaroni? Oh, no. Gravy and macaroni?
This is unfair. This is a character assassination. I said pasta and sauce, and somebody in the thread said gravy. So I asked if it was gravy. And then when you got freaked out, I said macaroni because I figured if you were pissed off about the gravy. But I said pasta and sauce. I have it on tape.
She's psychotic.
You have to teach her.
All right. Love you, Mom. Bye.
I don't know if I want to continue.
So then they have this disgusting SpaghettiOs meal, and she says, love is wine. She just repeats everything that he says. Did you notice that?
But it was also on the bottle.
Yeah. He goes, love is wine, love is wine. And she says, I miss you. And he goes, I miss you too. And she goes, did you really? And so then Jimmy looks like he is going through his taxes. He's so bored. He's like, okay, I mean, I guess tell me what an average day looks like. Jessica uses that as a cue to start the most boring monologue that has ever been said in the history of history.
If I ask you, what is an average day? I want to hear your overview. You know, I get the kid off to school. I go to work. We come home. We have some food. We eat. I put her to bed. I wake up at 7:05. I hit snooze like maybe twice. Then I get on my Peloton bike and then I have coffee because don't talk to me before I've had my coffee. And then I wake up my daughter and then I give her breakfast and then I put her clothes on and then I bring her to school.
I really feel like if Jimmy knew what was in store for the answer of this question, he would have seriously reconsidered the question.
Oh my God.
It was the longest explanation of absolutely nothing that I've ever heard. I am in a rush now for the rest of my life because I spent so much time listening to that answer. I'm behind on my
day.
And
then I ask her like what she wants for dinner. And sometimes she wants to have dinner at home. And sometimes it's pigs in a blanket. And sometimes it's spaghetti. And then we sit. Bitch, I don't care.
I don't care about anything.
Not a thing you said.
You know that Ellen bit when someone asks you how you are, they expect you just to say fine.
Right.
What? Is there? There's more? Yeah. She does that. Because it's true. Give me a brief overview.
Oh, my God.
I have to double up on my therapy now.
I died in the middle of that monologue. And then I got reincarnated. And then I managed to come back in the same body. And I grew up 44 years and all during that monologue.
During that monologue, I also died, but then I became a genie. I granted someone 3 wishes, and their wish was to have all the money in the world, have unlimited powers, and have that monologue stop. Yeah. And then, and only then, did she wrap up the monologue. Yeah. And then I had to teleport myself back to this plane and be like, oh, great, she really did finish the monologue. Yeah. But by then, I had aged so much that basically I was like Dolly Parton. I was like a walking corpse.
It was unnecessary. And really, I feel like a crime was done to all of us. So he starts cracking his knuckles toward the pigs in a blanket section of the speech. He's like, what are you doing? She goes, are you cracking your knuckles? And he's like, yeah. And she's like, where am I right now? Like, I can't believe that you're doing this right now. So I don't know if this was like a bugaboo conversation at some point that we missed. And she was like, if you ever want to really make me upset and angry, crack your knuckles. Because she is very upset. And he's like, oh, I just wanted to see how mad you could get.
Because she says, did you do that on purpose? And he says, yes. She must have said that is her deal breaker.
He is now giving her the signal that he doesn't want to be there anymore. Like, if he knows that that's really a fucking thing for her, and then he says, yes, I'm doing it on purpose, I just wanted to see how mad you get, that's about as close as you can get to him just being direct and saying, I don't want to be in this conversation anymore.
He is done. He is mentally checked out. I feel like he probably mentally checked out when she said she was a single mom, but who actually knows?
And now she asks him what his social media following is. And so apparently this is what we're doing now. We're asking each other how many followers we have. But he's confused because he's just a dude. So he thinks that she's asking who he follows on social media. So he says, like, you mean, who do I follow? And she's like, OK, yes, which is not what she meant. What she meant was, how many followers do you have? She's like, OK, fine. Yes, I was asking about who you follow. And he's like, I don't know, just like people I went to school with and like comedians and like sports teams. And she turns that into a conversation about how in the past, guys have been looking at half naked ladies on their Instagram, and she's not okay with that. And she wants her husband to not lust after anybody but her.
I see both sides of this conversation. What are your thoughts?
You know, I don't know. Would she have been upset in the 80s if her husband had Playboy magazines?
Yeah, that's a great point.
It is what it is. If he's sitting there like jerking off to these women, yeah, I could see her being like, do you mind?
To say that you want a man, or a woman for that matter, to only lust after you is DeLulu.
I think there's a difference between thinking someone's hot and lusting after them.
Yes, I do agree with you. But I don't think that she thinks so. I think it's healthy to think other people are attractive and 100%. Joke. I think even flirting is healthy as long as yes. you have boundaries. Some people can't be trusted with that responsibility. I don't care.
No.
It's just like, don't DM someone. Don't act inappropriately.
Yeah.
But that comes down to trust. In general, men are more visual. I'm never looking at a man and being like, oh, I wonder what that looks like naked. Most men look at women and think about what they look like naked.
Mm-hmm. My husband just told me that one of the first things he noticed about me was my butt. And all he could think about was my butt. And then when he saw it naked, it was like exceeded all of his expectations. And it's been like his Roman Empire
for
14 years.
We'll talk about that another time. It is healthy to expect that your partner will at some point think other people are hot.
Are attractive. It means that their sex drive is still active.
And I don't know if that comes with age. I was never very possessive of my ex-husband, and I thought that's because I was cool, but it actually turned out it's because I didn't actually like him that much.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And I wasn't very cool. It turned out I just didn't want to marry him, and I didn't care if other people flirted with him. Don't worry, I'm in therapy. But I just thought it was very silly conversation.
Unfortunately, she is a silly person. So we go back to the women's quarters and she's talking to, I don't know, Sunny or something. And she says that Jimmy with the juice is her first round draft pick. That's what I keep saying, the first round draft pick. And that's what I'm calling it.
I'm going to stab my eye out with an eyeliner if she says first round draft pick one more time. That is a promise.
It's so gross. You know, you're talking about marriage, right? Like, oh, God. So he tells her that he's going to go to bed so happy, which I think just means he's going to fucking jerk it and fall asleep.
Then we're back in the men's quarters and Trevor is still trying to get info. Trevor's a little sneaky snake. I'm not mad at him, but he's just kind of like, yeah, so like, I mean, let's all just like at the same time, we'll just like say who like our number one pick is, like, let's just 1, 2, 3 chess. Like, who else? He's feeling a little insecure.
He says, if we all knew, then it would make everything easier and all the dominoes could fall into place, which is weird. It feels like he's saying, let's just get it out on the table and shuffle the cards around until we're all happy. Jimmy was like, yeah, it's weird. We're all dating each other and we're basically dating each other too, the men. And Trevor's like, that's pretty much literally exactly what's happening. Okay.
They say it's a love triangle. He's like, it's more like a love star. And I just envisioned that conversation went on far longer than it did.
God.
They were like, it's like a love parallelogram.
And the poor cameraman is like, and the boom operator's like, oh my God, my fucking arms are going to fall off.
It's like a love rhombus.
Trapezoid.
It's like a love octagon. And they just say all the shapes they can think of until they're out of shapes. That's the way it went in my head.
Also, back in the women's quarters, Mackenzie tells What's-Her-Face that Jimmy is also dating Chelsea. What's-Her-Face gets a little, oh, really? Well, and Mackenzie's like, don't worry. So now Jimmy and Chelsea are having a sushi date. Chelsea just immediately starts crying. Poor Jimmy. Jimmy has the two cryingest women on this season.
Chelsea, are you okay?
No.
Do you need a bagel? So then she pours a carafe,
oh my God,
of wine. Babe, just drink the bottle.
Yeah, she pours about 18 fingers of vodka into her chalice.
No one is looking. Just do it.
Right. And she's crying. She says she feels bad at the prospect of hurting someone else's feelings. And Jimmy's basically like, okay, can we just have sushi and have a good time?
Can Jimmy just have one normal date?
No.
She basically said, someone asked if I was dating you and I said yes and they got upset. You all know what happens on this show, right? And she goes, you're so mysterious, but like you're not. So he's not mysterious. that just canceled each other out. I don't understand what you're talking about.
Chelsea is dumb. Chelsea is a dumb. She says the moment she realized that Jimmy was for her was when she told him about the divorce and the way that he responded. And she sat with how he reacted and realized that she wanted to be with him. And then he apologizes for how he responded. He said he was mad at himself because he got emotional. And I'm like, well, that must have happened off camera because you didn't. And then she's like, yeah, it was tough. It was really tough.
What planet am I living on that someone who got married young decided not to be married anymore? And maybe I'm speaking from a biased perspective because I am divorced. It is not my defining feature in my life.
I barely think about it.
Am I not taking it seriously enough? Do people judge me? Why is it a big deal?
I was married at 23 and divorced by 25 or 6. I don't even remember. That's the thing. Somebody referred to Kurt as my second husband, and I was like, what? Oh, right.
Yeah, I'm just so confused how this is even a talking point. And then he basically goes on to say, your news was the easier news that day, in reference, obviously, to what Jessica is bringing to the table. And he basically says, I'm happy with you. Mind you, this is a man who thinks that he's talking to Megan Fox's doppelganger.
I'm telling you, when he sees her, he's going to be fucking pissed.
Here's my thought. And I'm not saying that Chelsea isn't a beautiful woman. She is.
Oh, yeah.
But let me just paint this picture. When I was on dating apps, I would not put my hottest picture.
Right.
I would put a picture that I look really good in.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like with our headshots, right?
Yeah.
You want a headshot that looks like your average day that right. you're going to show up to your audition with and be that person. I like people to be pleasantly surprised.
Yeah.
Put a picture with me with like a bun on top of my head or something. Right. Don't lead on your best day. If Megan doesn't deliver Megan Fox, this is going to be a very awkward situation.
Yeah.
But she is absolutely not Megan Fox.
It would be like me saying, when I think about myself in my head, what I look like Linda Evangelista. But then when I look in the mirror, I look like the junk cart lady from Labyrinth. I mean, I wouldn't say that part. But in my head, I look like Mila Jovovich.
Why would you lead with that?
He's going to expect Mila Jovovich, and he's going to get the junk cart lady from Labyrinth.
And then she says,
I'm not a complicated woman. I'm a very easy woman.
Okay. No.
Ma'am.
No. Even my 10-year-old was like,
Ma'am, not only have you acted like the end of your marriage was the equivalent to you being incarcerated for double homicide that you most clearly committed, you are not easy. No part of you or your situation, you're totally fine. And you're totally fine to respond to anything however you choose, but you do not look like Megan Fox. And you are not easy.
Mm-mm. And you're also not special having been divorced. Nobody cares. In the words of Keala Settle,
nobody cares. This season, they're mapping out so many weird scenarios. What do you do when you miss a flight? What do you do when your credit card gets cloned? What do you do when you leave your money at home and you run out of gas? What do you do when someone steals your parking spot? I want to watch everyone when they step in dog poop on not like their worst day, but on
like a day.
Yes.
Well, and also during this date, Jimmy says that he wants to travel. He wants to go out, and he also wants to not go out and
stay home.
We both like soup. We could talk
or not talk
about anything
for hours. And then Jimmy says, I'm definitely falling in love with your personality. And he's like, I'm not at all falling in love with the fact that you might look like Megan Fox. I'm not even thinking about Megan Fox. I forgot that.
Megan who?
I forgot you even said that whole Megan Fox thing. And she starts crying.
Oh my God. Chelsea says she wants to be with someone. I want to be with someone who could like literally live life.
Mm-hmm.
So you want an alive person.
You want someone who breathes air.
You want somebody who is not dead yet.
That's great. That's a good goal.
That's a fun time.
Right.
So he has described a pretty fucking basic relationship. I want to go out sometimes. Sometimes I don't want to go out. And she's like, oh my God. oh my God. Like, you are literally everything I've ever wanted in a man.
I just never thought I would find.
Oh my God. Who have you been dating?
Rumpelstiltskin.
Apparently.
So now Trevor is with Chelsea, and he says he's narrowed this project down to one. You're the one that I want. You are the one I want. Honey.
He was on a date yesterday that he didn't even want to be on. Chelsea asks him what his fears are, if he's worried that she won't be his type physically, and he's like, no, that's what this experiment is, and I'm not worried because I love you, and you could drive a train through her open mouth. She is so shocked that those words came out of his mouth. And then she says, I wish you could see my face right now. And I'm like, honey, that's not the face that you want to see when you've told somebody you love them. Like, that's the face that you want to see. I'm taking you to Paris. When someone says, I love you for the first time, you don't want to look like your cable bill was 18 times higher than you expected it to be.
And she doesn't say it back. She just keeps saying, she's over the moon. Wow. Yeah. I'm so excited. This very close to Megan Fox face is gag.
And she says it because she says all she's wanted is for people to feel this way about her. She's not over the moon about him. She's over the moon about having two guys who are into her.
Right. Also, what's wrong with his forehead?
What's wrong with everything happening? Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, somebody called it roid rash. It's either roid rash or it's like spray on hair color and he's sweating. Yeah, Josh called it roid rash.
It was something. Listen, I don't know much about anything. I'm going to say choose the guy that you didn't say you looked like Megan Fox to.
Yeah.
Because that just seems like an easy out. I gotta say, Trevor has actually shocked me. He actually seems kind of silly and sort of fun and sweet. I am pleasantly surprised by him.
You know what? I agree with you there. And I really wish in this moment, I wish she would just say what she needs to say. But instead, she doesn't. She says she'll see him tomorrow. And then it's a very weird cut because suddenly, as she's leaving the room, she's been like clearly hysterically crying. Like, she is not well. There has been some conversation that we did not get to see.
I don't know what's happening. All I want to get to is the reveal where Chelsea doesn't look like Megan Fox. I'm never going to be able to forget this. I'm never going to be able to forget this. It would be as if I told someone I looked like 2000 Cindy Crawford because I have brown hair.
Yeah. I look like Charlize Theron. People have told me.
People have. What? Yeah. People have told you.
And then back in the women's quarters, Chelsea is crying. She's like, I'm used to men treating me badly. It's just, she says, I'm used to men being mean to me. This poor girl.
Well, I mean, if you've gone around your entire life lying to people that you look like Megan Fox, you're kind of setting yourself up.
All the women are gathered around her and she tells the women that she's really into Johnny and they had a great date or whatever she says. And Jessica throws up her hand.
It looked like they had to have muted something that she said, but I don't think she said anything.
And she storms off into the kitchen where she like angrily drinks from her chalice. She is pissed.
She is full of Botox and rage. And you can't see the rage because of the Botox, but she is full of it.
The amount of filler on this show. Chelsea can't really move her mouth properly when she speaks. Jessica is infuriated, but her face doesn't go anywhere. It's just, it's so much.
When you kiss with filler, can you feel your lips?
I don't know. I had a friend who started getting filler like way back when it was like in the late 2000s. And she was constantly like licking her lips like a lizard. And it was very uncomfortable. And I didn't know what was going on. But my friend was like, yeah, I think she got filler. And she just is like, she's just not used to her lips feeling that way. So I don't know. It's gross. And I also wonder what it feels like to kiss somebody with filler. Like, does it feel like you're pressing up against
cement or something? I don't know.
Silicone inserts.
Inserts. And that's where the episode ends. There are so many differences as this show matures into teendom, how it changes and how the people change and their expectations change and their conversations change. And I think it's really evident since we went from season 5 back to season 1.
Yeah.
And we did season 1 right before we started on season 6. I feel like the whiplash is even more evident because we're fresh off season 1.
Yeah. I mean, if we could go back and watch season 1 of The Bachelor and then watch the current season, I mean, I don't think you can find season 1 of The Bachelor anywhere. But if you could go back and watch that and then compare it to this season, I think you'd be like, we're on a different planet.
Thank you all for being here. We're getting these episodes out as fast as humanly possible. Hope you're enjoying the coverage of season 6. Remember to find us on the general feed. That's where we dropped season 5. And be sure and like and follow and engage with us on social media, even if you're just liking and commenting. That helps too. It doesn't so much as help our ego as helps it in the algorithm, but also
the capitalism.
Tell Daisy she is tall and tell me that I am smart.
There you go. Tall and smart. Look, here comes my
buddy.
Handsome dude.
My buddy. My body and me.
All right. Well, we'll see you next time for, do we need to say all the things?
No, it's fine.
Find us on, okay, who gives a fuck anymore?
Find us on social media. You know where it is. If not, then you're not very
nice.
No,
where have you been?
We love you.
We love you.
Love you, Daisy.
Love you, Yellen. Shut the fuck up.
No, you 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 shut the fuck up.
Shut the fuck up. I'm editing it, so I'm the last one.
Shut the fuck up.
Bye.